May 21st, 2022. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means checking out new casinos, and I did just that up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was up there last weekend, took in a Pittsburgh Riverhounds match, hung out at Bet Rivers being the sports book there, hung out at Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, right there, downtown Pittsburgh. It's right next to Heinz Field, and it was across the river from the soccer match I took in. Beautiful area, and it was really cool to hang out down there. I saw a couple of you rolled through. Brett, saw you, you and your lady. I appreciated you swinging by. Unfortunately, Brett didn't have time to play, but swung by while I was at Spiral Bar. Shared a couple of pleasantries, and then we moved on. That was funny, Brett's. I say lady because I can't remember the actual relationship there, whether they're dating or further along. But she mentioned that The Better Life, one of the few podcasts of his that she likes listening to with him. So I very much appreciated that. So good to see the both of you. I really liked Rivers Casino. I really did. Parking was pretty easy. I wasn't sure, with the casino being that close to downtown, I wasn't sure what to expect. So that was easy. I passed by a lady who had no idea which level she parked on. So that was amusing. I almost kind of wanted to follow her around and see how long it was going to take, but that probably would have been a little creepy. They had craft tables open. They had three of them, I believe, all $10 minimums, which really blew me away for a casino in the city like that. I mean, when I was in New Orleans, I mean the Boomtown there was $15. They had a whole bunch of blackjack tables, ranging, I think one was $10, and they were all the way up to like $50. But they had so many of them, you could pick your poison on minimum. They had 8-6 jacks or better on the video poker machines. They had $15 face down Pai Gal, and then they had baccarat. They had mini and midi tables, ranging from $25 for a mini table all the way up to $100 for a midi table. And I think then both versions, I think, maybe had a $50 table. I played a little bit of video poker. That went well. I hit a four of a kind. Boom, that's always a nice day. I played some craps, walked away up from that, was kind of choppy, and then someone went on a nice roll, so walked away with a bit of a profit there. Wore my Tip Your Dealer shirt, and of course, the dealers appreciated that. One of the things that I always experience when there is a, one thing I always experience when they notice my shirt is they always ask, are you a dealer? And of course, let them know, nope, I'm just a gambler who appreciates his dealers. But I did appreciate the fact that they assume I'm a dealer because I'm supporting dealers. One thing that I thought was interesting about Rivers was they had the sports book itself sort of in the middle of the casino, a little area with like seats and screens, really cool. Kiosks then line the side of the sports book. And then away from the sports book in the corner, not too far away, but definitely separated, is where the actual counter is for you to actually make bets, which I didn't notice right away. I thought maybe they were just kiosk only. And then someone pointed out to me that there was that window there. So that was interesting. But yeah, I thought it was nice. I barely noticed it. Like, you could smoke in there. I barely noticed that. The ventilation was very good. The dealers were great. As I was leaving, one dealer saw me and he was like, "Oh, I heard about your shirt." And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, "Oh, in the back, people are talking about there's a guy with a shirt about tipping dealers." So I appreciated that. I like that the shirt made its round. Bettermerch.com, BETTOR merch. Bettermerch.com is where you can cop your own Tip Your Dealer shirt. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. All right. Continuing the theme from last week, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I wanted to do a series of shows addressing mental health and a few different ways in the gambling community. And I thought, well, I kind of want to get into it a little bit on the AP side. And one thing I always appreciate about Richard Munchkin on Gambling with an Edge is he always sort of notes how, you know, the AP life can be a lonely one. And I thought, well, maybe he can speak a little bit more to this. So I invited Richard on, and he talked to us about loneliness, ego, and sort of being both objective and subjective about gambling life and et cetera. Enjoy. Richard Munchkin, it has been over 3 years since your first appearance on The Better Life, but we are bringing you back for a very worthy conversation around mental health, especially in the AP community. Thank you for taking the time to do this for me.
Sure, happy to do it.
So let's, if we can, actually start with your perspective on sort of the growth of mental health in general. How have you felt mental health, or from, like, how have you seen mental health become a more popular or easy topic in society, sort of in, like, you know, or in the community around you in general?
Well, outside the AP community, I've seen a lot of growth and a lot of talk about it. Inside the AP community, I don't hear much. Yeah, it's not something I hear a lot of people talking about. But I think it's something that affects a lot of people in the AP community, and it would probably be much better if there was more talk about it.
Yeah. You often bring up loneliness. Well, I guess not, you don't bring it up, but I've heard you, when people talk about, you know, wanting to be an AP, being that road warrior, you often bring up that the APs can be isolated and experience loneliness. Can you expand on that idea and maybe even share like an experience that you had?
Sure. Well, first of all, I spent a good amount of time over the course of my life trying to figure out what made me happy. And it's something that I think about a lot. And it took me a while to realize one of the things for me that was really important for me to learn about myself was I am basically a team player. I want to work with other people, regardless of what it is I'm doing. So that's why I hate writing, even though I've written. Sometimes I've written with a partner, which made it better, but I am not suited to jobs where you are isolated and working on your own. So even when I didn't realize this in the beginning, but when I started playing blackjack, I always wanted to be part of a team. But when I started, I was counting cards, and the way our teams were structured was we were all playing on a common bankroll, but we were going out playing as individuals. And that did not suit me well. That may be part of why I quit counting so early in my career. That and the other reason that counting cards has such a small edge and the highest amount of heat. So that was another thing I didn't like about it. But I became much happier when I started doing advantage plays where it involved more than one person at the table at the same time. And I look over the last 20 years and I can think of two occasions, one where I went to Russia and they were counting games. Now, they were really good counting games. The player had an advantage off the top, but still I was in Russia in winter alone and I hated it. And the other experience I had was a play that was not a counting play, but it was something I was doing alone. And again, I was in the middle of Iowa, in the middle of winter, alone. And And that was kind of the final straw. I realized I hate this. It's not worth the money. I am not going to play this way anymore. Even though I kind of liked the game I was playing, it was a challenging game that I enjoyed the kind of intellectual exercise that it gave me, but I did not enjoy doing it by myself. So that was kind of the final straw for me. And that may have been, I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. And I was just like, you know, if I have to play alone, I'd rather not play. So there's nothing worse than going back to a hotel room after a long losing session and, you know, eating crappy food on the road and having no one to talk to about it. And so, yeah, I stopped. It wasn't good for my happiness. And, you know, fortunately, I'm in a place in my life where I can do the things that make me happy.
Yeah. I can somewhat empathize with Russian winters. I spent a year in Moscow and the winters are no fun, but I had a group full of Marines and a bunch of our lady friends to enjoy Russia with. And so that made it a lot different.
Well, the other thing was I went to St. Petersburg, where in the winter, there's basically no sunlight.
Yeah.
The sun rises at about 10 o'clock in the morning and sets at about 3, and it was overcast the entire time. So that doesn't help my mood either. So, yeah, it was not fun.
So you mentioned, you know, I heard you say you have no one to talk to about it. And I think that this is something that a lot of gamblers can empathize with, whether they're an AP or not, in that our experiences at the casino or in sports betting or in any facet of gambling, so many of us don't have people to talk to about it, right? I mean, I remember I was stationed in Peru. I would go to the casino. I would go to play poker. I would do this. And then if I came home after losing my ass, no one cared to listen to it, because they just thought they were listening to a degenerate talking about losing money, right? Like there was no one to like understand the object, like, you know, like the experience, right? They're just like, oh, whatever. And so it wasn't until, you know, years later now in this community where like I feel like I have like-minded friends that actually understand what it's like to do things well, or just you know, at a craps game, like, oh, there was a cold table. It's kind of nice to have someone to commiserate with right?
Yeah, and people have started to have this through the internet now, right? So there are forums for people, whether you're a blackjack player or whatever, for people to discuss these things. And there's Discord now, so yeah. People can talk on the Discord about whatever their latest bad beat story is, but at least just be able to talk to somebody, another human being.
You know, on Gambling with an Edge, you mentioned when people talk about networking and getting in, and you talk about how like early in your career, networking was big for finding plays, for finding teammates, message boards became essential. How did you use any of that, or did you feel any sort of isolation just in finding someone who like-minded people, like, so not even like professionally networking, but just having personal relationships that can understand or have similar interests into what you're experiencing?
Absolutely. And when you say there are message boards and things, so that didn't come about until the very beginnings of that was late 90s. And I started in 78. So there were a lot of years where there certainly wasn't any kind of technology. But again, as I say, I joined teams to have those people around me to be able to have those discussions. Yeah, and the networking part of it was a whole separate thing, because, you know, I have a friend who says if I get 10 new friends, I'm going to make 10 times more money. Now, I don't think the correlation is exactly one to one like that, but I think it is absolutely true the bigger network of people you have. And it's not just in gambling. I think in any business, the bigger network of people you have, the better you will do.
You admit that you gave up on advantage play a couple times in your career. Maybe a couple is underestimated.
Retired. I called it
retired.
Retired, not giving
There you
up.
go.
Yeah, because I was not saying I quit. I hate this. Well, I did the very first time when I very first started, but the other times it was I'm retiring from gambling because I want to pursue other things.
Gotcha. So in those, so let's call it back to the early days of doubt where you were like, I quit, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, how did you, like now when I've decided to, rage quit sports betting, I have resources and I have people to admire that can sort of put me back on track, instill confidence back in me. When you were at that point early in your career, like, what did you have that for you? Like, how did you discover that confidence of like, no, I can do this, and I'm sure you were still maybe apprehensive about it, but how did you overcome that?
Well, so first of all, when that happened, I was, I think, 23 years old. I was out on my own for the first time in my life, away, moving out of my parents' house. And I had a roommate who was bipolar and stopped taking his meds. And he had a psychotic break. And it freaked the hell out of me. And I really was in a bad way. So not only was I going through this losing streak, but I also felt like my world was upside down and collapsing. And I mean, if I had had any sense, I would have gone to therapy, but I didn't at the time have any sense. So I was kind of, stuck in this very dark place. Now, the bankroll I was on ended because the investor was going back to Australia. And so that's when I said, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I had lost for 167 hours, and I thought, either I'm the unluckiest guy in the world, or I must be doing something wrong, but people would test me and tell me I was doing okay. And I quit for about 3 months. And I had a friend who had moved out to Las Vegas from Chicago that I knew from back in Chicago. And he had continued on. When I quit, he continued on and he started making a lot of money. And he was the one who convinced me to give it another chance. So I said, okay, I'll give it another shot. There was a team that wanted to take me on. So I said, okay. Then I started to win and I started to make money. And, suddenly it turned around.
When you were experiencing the, when you talk about the moments of, in the middle of Iowa and you're lonely and you're eating crappy food after a loss and stuff like that, you're telling us about it now, 15 years after the fact, or however long after, while it's happening. Like, when you went back to Vegas and were back with your team and your friends, like, is that something that you guys shared with each other? Or was it just like, that's just a known part of the experience and you just kind of deal with it?
Oh, I might have complained. I have one friend that I might have complained to him because he would understand what it basically how unlucky I had been on this particular play. For somebody like you were saying, for somebody who doesn't understand it, they're like, oh yeah, you lost in gambling. But for somebody who understands, like when you have a massive edge and lose, like they get it. So I might have complained to him. The other thing is, I've now been married for I should know the answer to this. 29 years. So at least when I was in Iowa having a bad time, I could talk to my wife every night. And that certainly was helpful. I mean, I couldn't explain what was going on at the table, like she, but the intricacies of it, but that was helpful for me to have her there.
You know, you've mentioned dating, relationships very tough as an AP. I really as a gambler in general, but especially as someone who tries to tell a potential partner, "Hey, this is how I make my living." Were you ever challenged, or have you ever seen other APs let the sort of negative variance of their play affect how they treat family sort of in the moment? Like come home frustrated after a big losing session and trying to not let it come out in interacting with the family. Have you ever experienced anything like that or been witness to it?
I mean, I've certainly talked to guys who say that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And for in my situation, it kind of had become a running joke between my wife and I. If I leave on Friday and I call my wife Friday night, and the plan is for me to be gone a week. And she says, "How are you doing?" And I say, "Oh, we're up 10K." And she says, "Come home now." And if I call her on Wednesday and I'm supposed to come home the next day, and she says, "How are you doing?" And I say, "We're stuck 10K." She says, "Don't come home." So, but she got it pretty early. Like she really understands that it's a business and I don't need to hide it from her. I don't want to hide it from her. So, and I've always been pretty good about rolling with the swings since that first really horrible streak at the beginning, but also my swings are usually not as bad anymore because I'm playing with a bigger edge.
Right. So, how have you seen ego impact APs? And I'm curious both about like personally, in sort of maybe being desperate for respect. We see this a little bit more with professional sports bettors, and I think we do like casino APs. And then also professionally, maybe where you've seen a teammate or another AP maybe experience a little too much hubris in sort of what they're able to do and have that negatively affect them.
Well, personally, I saw this early in my career where I had teammates who would argue for part of the chop should be based on how much the person wins instead of just how much EV was generated because they believed that they played better than everybody else. So they were going to win more than everybody else. But I mean, this also led to people overbetting if you do that, right? Because it's in your best interest to take bigger swings if you're going to get
Right.
paid if on how much you win. I had a teammate who, we set up at the beginning that we had these kind of hard and fast rules, right? Certain rules that you could not drink at the table. If you were, you couldn't tip the dealer. You couldn't bet big off the top for cover, right? And he flew off to Aruba and proceeded to lose over $100,000. And the team decided to fly him back and polygraph him. And so we did that. He took the polygraph, and he very matter-of-factly on the during the polygraph said, "Well, yes, I bet big off the top sometimes because I just need to, and it's justified, and it doesn't cost us that much. And yes, I have a drink or two, but I still play perfectly when I do. And just like every rule he had broken, but he had a justification for all of it, why his reasoning was better than ours."
Right.
And I was not a teammate with him for very much longer after that. And I certainly see on the internet I see more so than the people I've chosen to surround myself with, but the people I talk to on the internet, you know, you can definitely see ego getting in their way of a lot of things.
You know, the adage, you are the sum or the average of the five people you spend the most time with. How true do you think that is in AP?
Oh, very much so. I mean, it goes back to the whole networking thing. You know, if you're spending the most time with four of the sharpest guys out there, you're going to make a fortune, basically, you know. Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is true.
I think most of your audience would agree that you come off as a very objective person when it comes to your plays and how you exercise professionally. Have you ever, like, in those moments of like Russia and Iowa where like you had this edge, you know, you get unlucky, you still lose. Did you ever, how much, I mean, frustration is a oversimplification of that, but like, do you feel like opportunity cost, like where you're like, man, that was such an opportunity that did not come to fruition? Or are you even more so objective where you're just like, that's how it swings?
Well, in the case of Iowa, in the case of Russia, I was like, this is why I quit counting cards years ago. This just sucks, right? But in the case of Iowa, this was a play where I could calculate exactly, well, or very close to exactly what my EV should be. Like, and so to me, it was just, this is going to sound a little weird, but I kind of feel like there's just a big EV bank in the sky and it remembers that I, you know, made that play, and it, you know, it all goes toward, at the end of your life, you're going to earn pretty close to your EV that you've generated, both positive and negative. I was fine with the loss, completely fine with the loss. That didn't, you know, faze me at all.
Do you feel like you have fully withdrawn from your EV bank in the sky yet?
Oh, I don't know. I don't keep track, really. I mean, I feel like I'm way ahead of the bell curve in terms of just luck in my life. You know, like, I've had an incredibly great life, better than the vast majority of people I know. So maybe I'm delusional, but hey, it makes me happy. So
sure. Yeah, that's good. So let's round back to talking about mental health in the AP community, whether you know whether it's ego or loneliness or just admitting that, like, I'm you know, not really in a great spot. And I think maybe this is a great way to enter this final conversation is, you know, there's days where I wake up and I don't feel good mentally, like I'm in a bad mood, or, you know, maybe I'm doubting myself, whatever it may be. And that impacts the quality of my work. How aware of that have you ever been, where you're just like, I am off today. This isn't like, it's bad for me and the team to maybe be at a table because I'm distracted, I'm not doing well, whatever it may be. It's not about your ability to count, but just any sort of distraction that's happening inside of your brain.
You know, I don't remember feeling that in gambling. I do remember feeling that in sort of creative endeavors, whether it's writing or directing, things like that, where I felt off, but with writing, you can just not write that day. But with directing, if you're supposed to be on the set, like, you gotta show up and do your job. But for gambling stuff, usually, maybe it was interfering with my work, but I didn't know it, you know. But I kind of felt like In gambling, things are pretty black and white. Now, your judgment may be off in terms of judging how the casino is reacting or what the pit boss is thinking or the dealer or those kinds of things. And I guess that can affect you negatively. But the actual play, I don't remember feeling that.
Sure.
But I certainly remember, another thing though is imposter syndrome. I've certainly felt that, and I think a lot of people do.
How long did it take you to get over that?
Oh, well, that's one of those things that comes intermittently,
Okay.
I mean, that comes and goes.
I guess
So,
maybe the better question is when was like how long ago was like the most recent experience?
what time is it now?
It is 3:43 Pacific time on May
Yeah,
18th.
so I mean, if I haven't written anything in years, can I still say I'm a writer? If I haven't, if I've retired, if I haven't made a play in a casino in 2 years, am I still a professional gambler? Not really. I mean,
That is an interesting way of looking at it. I think yeah.
I don't
Because
know. I just accept it and go on with my life, right?
right, yeah.
The one thing I want to say this though,
Okay.
I don't understand people's reluctance to get help. I know some people in the gambling world that are extremely unhappy. But they will not, if you have a toothache, you go to a dentist. If you have a broken arm, you go to a doctor. But if they're unhappy, they won't go to a therapist. It's frustrating, and they just, I guess, just don't realize that they don't have to feel that way.
So, do you think that that is a do you think those are individual personal choices that they're making, or do you think that the AP community or gambling community in general is still one that doesn't recognize? Because I think talking as someone who I sort of AP in sports, but I'm definitely a recreational bettor in the casino, and I think that with casino players, there's this. I think the stigma is. Well, if I admit that this is affecting my mental health, or I'm not addressing my mental health while also going to the casino, that could be confused for a problem, and I don't want that. And I think that there, and I, of course, that doesn't translate so much into the AP world because of the EV and stuff like that. But do you think that applies at all to what you're saying?
I think that it's mostly an individual thing. I don't th I, because you'll see that in kind of all walks of life, people who don't want to get help. And there's a difference between having a problem, like some people are chronically depressed, right? I'm not talking about people who maybe have a problem with gambling. I'm talking about people who are, chronically depressed or whatever. And it doesn't have to be that way.
What does Richard Munchkin do to address his mental health? Like what you said that you've been in this lifelong pursuit of happiness, and that you acknowledge you've had a great life and you have good things around you. What are maybe some key decisions that you've made for yourself, and how do you maintain that here?
Well, for me, it's all about my relationships. It's all about the people that I'm close to, that I care about, that I love, and keeping them close. And the other thing that's helpful is some kind of exercise for me, if you're, having a down day, exercise makes me feel better.
Very good. Richard Munchkin from Gambling with an Edge. Thank you for joining me on this. I think this is a interesting look into the AP community and a couple topics that maybe don't get talked about as much. So we appreciate your insight.
Oh, hey, happy to do it. It's an important topic, and hopefully, somebody will be spurred to action to help themselves a little bit.
Thank you, Richard, for joining me there. Another great conversation. Hope to have one more. I don't know if it'll actually be out next week or at the end. Let's see. What are my dates? No, next week is the last. So hopefully be out next week, my interview with Rufus Peabody. And we'll do, of course, Gil and Richard, I've spoken to before on his podcast. Richard, one of the original guests on the show way back in the early 2018, but Rufus has never been on, so we're gonna learn more about Rufus and then maybe get into more of this topic for the rest of the series. So I hope everybody's enjoying this. Got a lot of really encouraging messages from people who appreciated my conversation with Gil, so I really appreciate that. I'm glad to know that this is landing for some people, as I think it's important. It's an important conversation to have in our community. Okay. Only a couple admin notes. I mentioned the online shop, bettermerch.com. If you have an order in, it'll be out in the next like day or two. My house is in a bit of disarray, or has been, because of work being done on it, and with where the work was being done, storage area and stuff was being both overused and unavailable, and so like stuff is just everywhere. So if you have an order, including those of you who are ambassador supporters on Patreon, there will be I will get those shipped out here soon. Vegas Vacation 11 coming up, man, just a few weeks. Looking forward to doing that. Nothing's changed. I'll be at Circa for a couple nights, and then the Mirage for a couple nights, participating in pretty much everything that Mark, Karen, and Tony have arranged for the Vegas vacation. I get in Saturday. I will be at a soccer match that evening, and then I think I'm running around maybe seeing some people before and after that. And then Tuesday morning before events get going, I hope to hang out at the pool for a couple hours. Other than that, all Vegas vacation, what may be, and I'll speak more to this later, this may actually be my last opportunity to go to Vegas this year with the way things are shaping out both summer and fall, but we shall see. So especially looking forward to this one, because it could be, you know, up to a year before I can maybe be able to get back. So but I will explain what I mean by that more next time. Well, maybe not next time, but soon enough. I think that's it. I think that's actually all I got. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It really does mean the world to me that you decide to hit play on my podcast. I have, you know, a couple dozen, not me, not mentioned anymore, about a dozen podcasts, and I have a hard time getting the ones that I even still enjoy. So if you're listening to this right now, thank you for prioritizing this podcast over, I know, the other ones that you have in your podcast app of choice. Better Viewing is coming back. I'm sure, I know some people have asked, like, hey, what's going on? I'm sure Mark is twiddling his thumbs like, goodness gracious, this guy's taking forever for us to schedule the next one. That is definitely coming back. The last episode that we just recorded has just been like sitting in my queue of things to do, and I will just admit I just haven't gotten to it, but I am getting to it. It'll be released in the Better Viewing feed before the end of the weekend. Then Mark and I will hopefully record soon. I need to get with him on when we're gonna record. Part of what's also been delaying us recording one is the last episode that we did the stream, we mentioned, oh, we'll do like a grab bag episode. And then I just wasn't watching anything. And so I've started watching stuff again, picking up on gambling scenes and whatnot. And I'm going to send those over to Mark, and then we're going to get something scheduled. So for those of you that like that show, thank you for your patience. Next one's coming up soon. Okay, that's it. Late Saturday release. It's that time of life, that season of life where if I don't get to these things right away, they slip pretty badly. So Better Life episodes coming out anywhere between Thursday morning and Saturday evening these days. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your support. On behalf of Richard Munchkin, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.